My next guest, Neil Lazarus, a political analyst, is on the line, and we're going to talk about this renaming of the war, politics, perception, and the power of words. Neil Lazarus, thank you for talking to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Simon.
So I'm just going to ask the most obvious question on my mind, which is the renaming of the October the 7th war to the War of a Revival, Milchemet Chia, is this Bibi Netanyahu electioneering?
Oh, 100%. We're into the election period. The only thing that Netanyahu is now looking at is winning the next elections. What everyone is doing is now considering how the history books will be written. And he wants to go into the elections presenting himself as the man who attacked Iran, the man who brought down Hezbollah, the person who destroyed Hamas. What they don't want to mention is the military and intelligence disaster called October the 7th. So by calling it the resurrection war, if you like, as a rough translation, it kind of wipes out many of the awkward questions which are still need to be answered about October the 7th. As one of the parents of one of the soldiers that was killed in the war said, "We haven't been resurrected yet. We don't, consider it over until the questions of October the 7th have been answered."
Neil, it is such a difficult issue because on the one hand, what Bibi is saying is correct. I mean, the axis of evil has been significantly weakened. Israel arguably is in a better position today strategically than it has been for many, many, many years. But on the other hand, the 7th of October happened and it was the greatest failing of Israeli security in Israeli history, I think. Surely one has to have a commission of inquiry and get to the root cause of all this before one starts renaming and playing political games, surely.
Well, I would totally agree with you, and it fits into the sense of Netanyahu rigging the political system. They've been attacking the judicial system and the law of order here and trying to, I wouldn't say reform the Supreme Court, but rather reduce its authority. And of course, we need some form of commission of inquiry, which is independent, it's not political, run by judges, that will ask the hard questions. What went wrong? Why? And where was the Prime Minister? If the Prime Minister said he didn't know about October the 7th before it happened, well, he should have done. That's a failure. And at the same time, whatever the case, the buck stops with the Prime Minister. So he needs to be held responsible. But like I mentioned, he is going into election mode, seeking to sew up his base. That's the number one thing, to get his supporters. And we saw it in the Knesset when Trump was addressing the Knesset. That the speech he gave was to his base. We're back, we're strong, we're reunited, and King Bibi is back on the throne.
And it seems to me, Neil, I think I saw a Channel 12 opinion poll published sometime last week. It seems to me that his strategy appears to be working. He is the Teflon man. He is the comeback king. It seems to me that all these funny shenanigans are actually working, which surprises me because I don't think the Israeli population is a gullible population at all. Everybody's got skin in the game. Everybody's got a kid who's gone into an army. Everybody's been involved. It isn't as simple as renaming a war and pulling wool over somebody's eyes.
No, but what he needs to do is to create a situation which is the polls which you refer to reflect, is that he has to create a situation, not that he wins the elections, but he makes it impossible for anyone else to. So what the polls actually showed was, if it was just for the Prime Minister, Netanyahu would win. He's seen as stronger than his contestants. But when it comes to coalition politics in Israel, both the opposition and the government, as it stands, don't have enough to make a government without Arab parties. The government won't, and the opposition, with some of its members, such as Lieberman, also won't come into power with Arab parties. So it's a stalemate. If you remember, before October the 7th, we got into a situation where we were having election after election after election, and each government wasn't lasting very long. So I think his tactic at the moment is, if he can't win it outright, to cause a political stalemate for the opposition.
That is such an interesting take on it. I hadn't entertained that particular perspective. Tell me, when it came to the actual vote, how significant was the dissent within the cabinet over this decision?
Over which decision?
To change the name of the war.
It's the dissent in the government is insignificant at the moment because people are scared of Netanyahu. Netanyahu's power is strong and getting stronger, and if you oppose him, your political future in the Likud is weakened. I think in many ways you can make a comparison between the cult of Netanyahu, the personality cult of Netanyahu in the Likud, with Trump and the Republican Party. Both are very strong leaders. They may not necessarily today reflect the traditional values of the party, but very difficult to change that leadership. And that's the politics we have 2025, 2026, both in Israel and America.
I would argue it's even more than that. I would argue that in the case of Israel, Netanyahu's been in power for over 20 years. If you're a 19-year-old Israeli, you have known nobody else. It's almost like a father figure.
100%.
It's almost this is unimaginable that the society will continue to function without the father in power. It's just unimaginable, and I think that's the difference between Trump.
I would totally agree with that. But when I meet and speak with a lot of university students, Israelis as well as Americans, obviously, but and South Africans all around the world. But when I speak specifically to the young Israelis, 20, 21, 22, yeah. Israel is Bibi, Bibi is Israel, and the two go together, which is wild. They would have no memory of the Rabin assassination. They don't have any memory of anything before that, or even memory of Netanyahu's involvement in the campaign against Yitzhak Rabin prior to the assassination. So 100% Netanyahu is seen as modern Israel. And I think that that's why it's very difficult to remove him from power.
Final question for you. I'm just thinking of the current geopolitics and the fact that everything is just so incredibly in a state of flux right now. There's potential to expand Abraham Accords, perhaps, maybe, with some luck. I'm not sure. Would a decision like this, could it have any kind of effect on that particular process, or is that just too tenuous a link?
One thing I've learned is, I think it was a British Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, who was Prime Minister so long ago I wasn't born, said a week is a long time in politics.
Okay.
A week is a long time in politics. In Israel, 24 hours is a long time in politics. What would seal the deal for Netanyahu's re-election would be a signing of a peace deal with an Arab country such as Saudi Arabia, such as Syria on a military side. There was talk that the president of Indonesia was going to come to Israel, and then he seemingly pulled out. So something big like that at the time of the elections could make the difference for Netanyahu. And I think that's where he's going with the help of his friend in the White House.
Neil Lazarus, that was such an interesting discussion. Thank you for chatting me this afternoon.